we have to be careful how much authority we give bureaucrats. As you can see, at many levels, whether dealing with permitting or code officials that are out there and overzealous, the zoning officers and all these things that create havoc in our communities and in our state, a lot of times are done by bureaucrats. So I'm elected. I'm accountable to the 65,000 people that elect me. And I'll take those votes and make those votes and explain it. I don't want to be handing off the authority of the legislative branch to the executive branch to be ruling by decree.
Welcome to Talking with Doyle, the podcast that gets State Representative Doyle Heffley talking. And Doyle, we're here in the Carbon County Cocktail Lounge following a very successful event you just hosted. Talk to me about that.
It was our Sportsman and Outdoor Expo. It was held this past Saturday, and we just had a tremendous turnout. We've been doing that event every year and just have really built it up. We had over 40 vendors there. And it was a good event. We had a great turnout, a lot of positive feedback. And a couple folks came up, had questions about some of the upcoming the proposals and projects in throughout Carbon County when it's dealing with data centers. And we were talking with folks about, you know, but there's a lot of misinformation. There's good information out there. I just talked a little bit about what we know about the overall state requirements for projects like that. But all in all, it was really good. It was great. We just had the past week we had a telephone town hall, and that was very well received. So I think it's so important for myself to get out. And we're always in the community. I did Eagle Scout Court of Honor. Congratulations, Landon Abelowski, Troop 209 is the newest Eagle Scout. We did that Eagle Scout presentation. Those are great events to attend and be supportive of. But we're out at a lot of different events, and that's really key. Sometimes you get kind of focused and just get this, you get the blinders on, and you're just focused on what's going on in Harrisburg. And we could talk a little bit about some of the crazy bills that the Democrats are pushing this week in Harrisburg. But I think when you're back in the community, I like to be at public events. We're always out in the community. We do a lot of telephone town halls or in-person meetings, expos, and just really getting the feedback of what's going on, talking to people on their front porch as we're walking the streets. And it's just a lot of great feedback, really knowing what the concerns are, what the issues are. We also met with a lot of local elected officials, and it's great to host events like that.
There's so many segues we could go from what you were just talking about there, but we'll talk about one that I'm sure as soon as we post anything recently, it's about the data centers. There is a bill this week. They don't talk about the specific proposals in your district because that's up to the local legislatures, the local leaders to talk about that. Mm-hmm. But there is a bill more broadly on the schedule this week to talk about how those are run. Maybe just your thoughts about that. That is a Democrat bill. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's a proposal out there right now which would really almost take away a lot of the local zoning control from our local municipalities and determining, you know, the land development for that community, right? So each community, township, borough has to have their own their own zoning ordinances, how they can use the land in certain areas. Also, your soil and land development plans. So I'm not going to support any piece of legislation that's going to take away control at the local level. I mean, I want those decisions to be made locally by the people that live there, not by some bureaucrat sitting behind a desk in Harrisburg. And I've been true to that pretty much on all my votes, as you see. There's a couple of proposals right now for data centers in Carbon County. None of them have really been formally put on the book, except for the one that we've talked about in Nesquehoning Borough. It's an industrial land, and that project has really, I think they got preliminary approval through the local zoning, but there's still some things that they have to work through. The company has been very transparent, meeting with the community, explaining what's going on. The local officials, I've met with them, but they've done public forums and really been transparent about what they're looking to do. There's some misinformation out about some of these projects, but at the end of the day, I do see it as an opportunity to drastically increase the tax base in areas, create really some, good paying jobs, and reuse some of these abandoned, if you want to call them brownfields, but abandoned industrial sites. But we want to try to, I would like to see these developments going into areas where they're well suited. And I think that's the key. Some of the proposals that are out there are just proposals, concepts, but really haven't seen any hard drawings or any type of proposal. But one thing to note in any kind of development like this, if you're going to put a porch roof or a deck on your back patio, there are procedures in place. You got to get building permits, inspections. You have to follow the setbacks and all the development rules of the area that you live in. Pretty much any type of plan or any proposal for any kind of industrial development, whether it be in Carbon County or anywhere else, has to be compliant with the local zoning. That's number one. And local land use, right? They can apply for variances, and then the township would have to grant them variances for certain types of projects. But they would have to abide by all the setbacks and noise, the height, all the restrictions, and the land use that the township has in place. And those are all set by legal guidelines that the state hands down. Then the next thing would be there are a whole bunch of state and federal requirements. Environmental protection requirements. The Delaware River Basin Commission controls all the water intake. You know, if any company is going to use water or discharge water, it would have to be discharging water had to be compliant with DEP and EPA regulations as to water temperature, what quality of water when it's being discharged. Any kind of water usage would have to be permitted from the Delaware River Basin Commission, and they pretty much control the water because they control the flow levels in the Lehigh River, which then controls the flow levels in the Delaware River, in the salt line in the southeast part of the state around Philly. That keeps the salt line pushed down so that the water intake for the water systems in Philadelphia and the southern part of the state aren't affected by salt water. So it's a really delicate balance. It deals with several states. We've talked a little bit about this in the past. We had several meetings when the New York Water Authority was trying to take the water rights over of the Francis E. Walter Dam. And we dealt with that. But, I think sometimes there's this misconception that these companies are just going to come in and do whatever they want. One person said, if they build this, the lake is going to go dry. That's not a realistic example, right? Is this the right proposal in the right space, and does it fit? I would say that I think there's other areas like that in Nesquehoney which are much more conducive old industrial sites that we have throughout Carbon County for this type of development. But I think we also need to look at what those opportunities are when you look at the increasing in jobs, increasing in taxes. And these facilities will pay large amounts of property taxes to the local municipalities and the school districts. And that's one of the biggest things that we have in Carbon County is residential property taxes. A lot of seniors that come into my office simply are losing their homes because they can't afford it anymore. I put forth several pieces of legislation to deal with that. But here you're looking at an entity that's coming in that's not asking for state or federal dollars. And if they're going to be compliant with all those regulations and putting that type of development in the right areas, it could definitely be something that could be a benefit to the community. So there's a couple different proposals. I would say that I'm not, supportive of anything in particular, or I'm not opposed to anything in particular, but I would ask these companies to be transparent and make sure that they're done right. I think that one of these projects in the Panther Valley area right now could be a tremendous positive opportunity economically for the community, but also for the school district and the local tax base and creation of jobs in an area that we're still mining coal. We still have a lot of opportunities there, but this, I think, it would be well suited. And I would just really, encourage our local government entities to redo their zoning ordinances, redo the ordinances to make sure that they're compliant with these types of advanced data technology centers, data centers. And there's several of these built throughout the Lehigh Valley already. And everybody's using their phones for everything. Yeah. And so everybody's using this technology. I would rather see these data centers being built in areas that are conducive to this type of development, but within our Commonwealth where we can actually see the benefit. I don't want all of America's, bank records in some data center in China. Other countries are building out these data centers. They don't have any environmental regulations. Right. They don't have any control over it. But when your data goes in there, they, TikTok is owned by the Chinese communist government, right? Mm-hmm. They have mass data centers. Anything, if you're Googling on your phone, Google isn't answering you. There's a Google data center somewhere that's answering you. If you're using maps on in your car while you're driving, that's not in your phone. That's at a data center. We've seen huge advancements in the medical field for reading CAT scans and radiology tests, and we're catching diagnoses at a much earlier stage for cancer, and actually saving lives through some of these technologies. We're seeing it helping out in building roads and construction. But we need to make sure that it's done properly. So I'm not, I take a pragmatic approach. Can these things be done? Can they be done in a way that's going to enhance society as a whole? And what are the pitfalls and dangers, and how can we prevent them?
Right, because on some of these previous episodes, we've talked about how you want to build the tax base and how you want to make this an affordable district in Carbon County for families to have kids and then raise and make sure they stay here in Carbon County. But it's for another podcast that we can watch back and listen to on another time. But while we focus here on Harrisburg, there's a couple other human relations bills that have caught your eye this week. Why don't you just take a couple minutes to talk about those?
Yeah, so the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission was established to make sure that people are protected in their rights. However, I've seen recently, and I authored a letter to send over to the Human Relations Commission, which I really think they're kind of overstepping their bounds. We've seen very progressive appointees to these boards and commissions, and they're trying to backdoor legislate, right? So there's some bills this week that would give them even more authority. And we need to be very careful of that. We talk about, individual rights. We talk about different things, and we don't want unelected bureaucrats appointed by this very progressive Governor Shapiro to be determining how we live our lives in the comfort of your own home or in your place of worship, or if you own a business. We know there are laws out there that protect, their anti-discrimination laws, but I think some of the things that the Human Relations Commission is pushing now is beyond their realm and would be better suited to be done legislatively.
There's a couple bills up this week by the Human Relations Commission. Can you give us any examples that you want to highlight for your constituents?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a couple of them out there, and we'll have to see what comes up on the schedule. 1826 is one that I think that I think is problematic and would definitely go give the Human Relations Commission and more authority than what we want. I think we have to be careful how much authority we give bureaucrats. As you can see, at many levels, whether they're dealing with permitting or code officials that are out there and overzealous as zoning officers and all these things that create havoc in our communities and in our state, a lot of times are done by bureaucrats. So I'm elected, I'm accountable to the 65,000 people that elect me, and I'll take those votes and make those votes and explain it. I don't want to be handing off the authority of the legislative branch to the executive branch to be ruling by decree.
For the folks who aren't aware, again, for the folks in Carbon County who are not aware, you and I were involved in it every day, that bill that you mentioned. Just what would it say? We mentioned a number of that. What would it do?
It would expand definitions and strengthen protections against what they deem as workplace discrimination. But you have to be very careful, because right now we're dealing with a lot. You're looking at women having certain protections if they're in the locker room or in the bathroom facility, and making sure that men aren't going in there. So we're dealing with a whole different realm of complexities. And I think those debates should be held out in the public, not just a bunch of bureaucrats ruling by decree.
So that'll be something we'll keep the eye on for this week. Anything else that anything else that you want your constituents to know that we should be watching out for in the next couple of weeks? Maybe even not on here, but
I think the biggest thing is as we continue to move legislation, things keep coming, is underlying. We still need to get a budget done. Now we're almost in the beginning of April. April, May, June. We have 3 months to go. The governor made his budget proposal. It's excessively oversees the amount of money our Commonwealth takes in. But we also need to prioritize. I mean, the governor's budget, what it didn't fund, the fact that we're still spending like, what, $5 billion, almost $6 billion more than what we take in, but we're still not adequately funding our hospitals and our providers and our home care nurses for the services that they provide in the community. We're not seeing the money being allocated in ways that the governor seems to have picked and chooses his pet projects, which I want to see our economy grow. I want to see our tax base widen. I want to see our healthcare providers that provide these services get adequately reimbursed for that so they can continue to do their job. While at the same time, I want to see government get out of the way when it comes to energy. I mean, that's our biggest cost driver right now. Utility rates, electricity is at a premium because it's supply and demand. And we got the governor to move away from RGGI last budget cycle. But now he's proposing the exact same thing again in his RGGI light or whatever he's calling it. The way to drive down energy costs is not by putting a tax on it. We need to create an economic environment in this Commonwealth where we're going to increase energy production. That's the only way to bring down energy costs. Get this natural gas into the homes, get energy. We need to increase base load. We spent, as a nation, trillions of dollars on solar panels and wind turbines which do not produce base load. I think that is the key. When we look at affordability, is our utility rates, because that drives everything. If you're going to a restaurant to eat, if you're driving your car, if you're going in a supermarket, they got to turn the lights on, they got to keep the freezers running. All those costs are tied to energy, and we are seeing huge electricity costs. There's a lot of people right now that like to look at the increase in gas prices because of what's happening overseas right now. And first, let me say, God bless our troops. I hope they do a good job. Let's get this thing done and get back, stay safe. But at the end of the day, the same people that said, oh, we're going to put solar panels everywhere, and there's another bill this week to increase to more subsidizing the solar panels and wind turbines, and drove our electric prices almost up 100% in some cases, are now screaming about a dollar increase in fuel, which I'm not for a dollar increase in fuel. Yeah. But it's kind of I find it ironic and somewhat hypocritical for them to drive up electricity costs and not want to address it by increasing baseload electricity. And I think that's one of the focuses that we should be having. But unfortunately, the bills that I see coming out of the House this week do nothing to address the affordability of housing, the affordability of electricity, or the affordability of food in this Commonwealth. If anything, I see them putting more restrictions on. There's a tax increase in one of these bills, and it's not going to bring down the cost of living for residents in Pennsylvania. And that's something that I'm concerned about.
And that's something we should be looked at during this budget battle.
Definitely.
I guess the other good thing we'll mention about that is while we do fight for the budget, there'll be two more members of the Republican caucus who will be on our side, hoping to make that.
Yeah, there were some special elections last week, and so we have two new members who will be sworn in. There were two other members sworn in, so we'll be back to our 102 Democrats and 101 Republicans, and we'll be back in that same cycle. I would hope that things being so narrow would call for some bipartisan cooperation, especially when we hear from the voters across this Commonwealth that affordability is an issue. And I would hope that the governor would listen to that and want to work with us to increase energy production in this state, drive down the cost of health care in this state, and work to end some of these regulations and take any kind of energy tax, whether it be through one of these called so-called data center bills, which is actually a hidden energy tax in it, and get any energy tax off the table. And let's look at lowering costs for Pennsylvanians, not driving them up.